Yeah, it's about that time, you already know. Turn the speakers up, man, it's time to start the show. John Tanner, Ryan Rogers, DJ Jeremiah. We bringing the heat, man, it's joint be fire. Like, bruh, we in the field, we in the field. Bruh, we in the field, we in the field. Just put it in work, we raising the bar. You tuned in to the track stops.
Yeah, back in the field with the Track Stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, DJ Jeremiah was good.
All right, for all things Track Stars, make sure you go to trackstarswithaz.com. Follow us on Instagram and like the Facebook page, all right?
All right, man. So we got a good show. We got a guest in here. How you doing, sir?
What's good? We got Brian Terrell with us today.
How y'all doing, man? Glad to be with y'all.
Absolutely, man.
Appreciate you coming through, bro.
For sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so we got a lot to talk about today. It's good to have you back, sir.
Yeah, thank you,
too,
man. Appreciate
you were gone
it.
As
yeah,
well.
Man. Yeah. Yeah, man.
It was.
I had the chat lit, though, last week. It was fun, though. Shout out to the chat. We need to name the chat something.
Last week, we were missing Ryan. We were missing Jeremiah. We were missing Jerry.
Well, Jerry wasn't here, but Ciara held it down, too.
Ciara did a good job.
She sure did, man.
Yeah,
everybody held it down. It was a very good show.
Yeah, everybody did a great job. I'm wearing this shirt right now, Flatline Movement.
Flatline.
So, yeah, shout out to Flatline, man. They gave us some really dope gear.
Yeah.
Really dope.
Yeah, prizes. They did. Thank you for the Bible and the shirt, man. Yeah. Appreciate it.
So how y'all doing? Tell the people.
Good, man. I was out in Orlando last week, and it was like 80 degrees. And as soon as I stepped off the plane back to Atlanta, I was at 45 degrees, and that's when everything broke loose, and I just started feeling bad again this week. So, yeah, I missed the week before last because I was sick with the flu, and, I just didn't want to miss this week, man. I wanted to come out and hang out with y'all.
How was the anniversary stuff, Jeremiah?
It's good, man. It was dope, 10 years, and we went to Myrtle Beach.
That's big.
We had, like, a nice resort. Hotel style place, like open the slide of the door on the balcony, the beach is right there.
Yeah.
So it was really good, man.
That's really dope.
Really good, really good. Had a good time.
How about you playing?
Man, chilling, man. Everything's good, man. Glad to be back one more week. They tried to jump me last week, but it's all
yeah.
You had power though. I know. The power was standing. You were standing firm.
It was a hazing, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so so we're gonna start off with Kanye West.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
Kanye West. Let's see what Kanye West said this week. They got everybody talking. All right, here we go.
Here, and this is all you. We hear Jesus is King. We hear this, but that's all you. Then there's sometimes you just want to say, man, not it, but you just want to say, man, this is what I'm feeling right now. Are you in that space where you're comfortable enough to say, this is where I am right now? I'm still a man of God. Jesus still is King, but this is vultures right now. This is where I am.
It is, but I have my issues with Jesus. There's a lot of stuff I went through that I prayed and I didn't see Jesus show up. So I had to put my experience in this world, my experience with my children, my experience with other people, my experience with my account, my experience with my brand, and my experience with the level of music that I was dealing with in my own hands. Mm. Like, a lot of times I just feel like in our society, in America, people, Christians, we depend on Jesus so much that we won't put the word in ourselves. And the main thing that really that I don't rock with is just always, I'm gonna pray for you. And it's just, you can actually physically do something yourself too, more than just pray. And we're so in this mentality, that's all that needs to happen, but we ain't praying our way out of prison. Mm-hmm. We ain't praying our way out of the abortion clinics. We ain't praying our way to get our land back that was always ours. Mm-hmm. After gentrification, after the Harlem Renaissance and Black Wall Street was burned to the ground, them prayers ain't working. A lot of times when you go into the whole Jesus, devout, Paul level, fell off a donkey level religious, you have thoughts in your mind and that you hide them from yourself. And then you sitting there and the whole choir is y'all singing about that. Then they're stealing from you from the church. And it's like, man, like, I swear it's just, you can only see what's immediately in front of you.
How did you not so-called disappear? Because that's a hell of a fight.
Because I'm God. And anyone to disagree, I'm the God of me, and you can't tell me who I am. I can't tell y'all. I could tell y'all. It's y'all job to listen. I'm the God of me. I don't know if I'm in heaven already. And I got number one. I might be on like a fourth dimension version of the lifestyle. I don't know. Like I said, I must have died in this accident. It must be heaven at the end of the day. It's like, why should you fear? That's another thing I don't like in Christianity, the fear of God. If God is love, why should you fear him? Because you place one fear, you get another fear, you get another fear. What do you have at that point? You're easily controllable. You're easily sellable. You're easily contracted because you have this fear on you. Like, everybody gonna die eventually, but I'm gonna live my entire life with zero fear of a contract, fear of perception, fear of getting my black card denied, fear. I'm not going to jump in front of a train.
Right.
So the clip that's going around did not include the rest of that.
Yeah.
So it's like that first clip was bad enough, but then when you keep listening, I'm like,
I listened last night too.
What? What are you talking about, bro? All right, so Kanye West. Can we just say he's not a Christian? He's saying he is. But that everything he said does not
matter. Wait a minute,
did
he just said he is?
I didn't take that part, but he says, you know, us Christians do such and such.
So he's still referring to himself
as a Christian somehow. I don't know how that calculus goes in his head. But there's so many things. Like, how do you respond to that? What are your thoughts, Ryan?
So the first thing is, you know, I think he's messed up a lot of people's walks. I think that, you know, he's such an influential person, and so much of a boisterous person that he's messed up a lot of people's walks, because there is a commercial side of Christianity, and that's the side that we try to stay away from. I look at myself and I'm like, man, I got to stay off social media, because when I see things that Christians are doing to each other, it makes me mad at the faith. But it shouldn't affect how I am in my prayer walk and in my prayer closet with God. So when I feel those things happening, when I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna pull back and just kind of like be to myself and be quiet and whatever, I feel like those are things that lead me astray. So social media and influencers like Kanye are people that are things that lead you away from your true relationship with Christ. And so that's the thing that's dangerous to me. What he just said was really, really dangerous. The second thing I took from that is that, the prayers that he's praying for, when he's saying somebody do something, I understood where he was coming from a little piece, right? The night my father passed away, somebody told me like, oh, I heard from the Lord, I prayed, and your dad is coming home. He's going to be, you know, here for your first child to be born. Like, and he died the same night. Like, you didn't hear God tell you that. So I get his frustration with Christians that tell you things that you want to hear versus what God actually said. And so I was like, when I first saw the clip, I was thinking, okay, I understand where you are. We all have had, you know, losses in our lives, or we've grieved in a certain way where we felt like we prayed and God didn't answer that prayer. I was reading a devotional the other day where it was like, God answers your prayer as soon as you pray it. You just need time for it to manifest.
Or the answer
in his
is
right
no.
time.
Or the answer is
or
no.
Or the answer is no, right. And so, but it's still the answer, right? The answer is yes or no. So that's what I took from that. But Kanye, man, I was really on board. Y'all know how I am. I even follow an Instagram and a Twitter site. It's called Christleets or something like that, where all these athletes that believe in Jesus Christ, they repost all the things that they say. And so when I see celebrities and people coming into the fold and they look like they're doing the right thing and their hearts are really changed, I get excited about it. I was excited about Kanye. I feel bad about it now because I'm like, man, he messed us all up.
Like a sucker.
But the prayers are still there. Still pray for him because he needs that.
It's really serious because I think a lot of people fall away from God because of something similar. So basically what he's saying is, I prayed to Jesus, and I assume he's talking about his family, when his family was falling apart.
Right, he was.
I prayed to Jesus, and then the whole thing with all the Jewish stuff, right?
Yeah.
I prayed to Jesus, and he didn't come through for me. So his conclusion from that experience is, I just need to do it myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that led to him, he already kind of had this in his head, but that means I'm the God of my life. Mm. No, you are not. Yeah. You are literally not the God of your life. God is the God of your life.
Yeah.
And I think his confusion with all of that makes him think that just because he didn't get the answer he wanted from Jesus, and I think a lot of us feel this way, just because you don't get the answer you want from Jesus means that he's not there, he's not listening, or it's not important, or you just got to do it your own way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of us are struggling with that conclusion. I prayed for my dad to live. He didn't live. I know you did the same. He didn't live. So when something like that happens where you lose something that you're like, God would never do that to me.
Yeah.
And then it happens, you're like, but what is this then?
But I would say this, from a biblical standpoint, that happens to a lot of people God doesn't show up when you want him to show up. And I think at the same time, it's a hard pill to swallow. But I will say this about Kanye, though. He said he had to do it himself. Did you really do it yourself with your family? Like, did you just give up on your family? Did you change? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and like the prayers, like, instead of like, Jesus save my family. Sometimes what I realize about with marriage is like, Jesus changed me, so my wife can see a better version of me, so we can be a better family. And sometimes it was looking like, from quote unquote the media's perspective of him in that show, like you talked about last week, it didn't make him look good. It made him look like he was like an evil, crazed, delusional person over his family. Yeah. And I wish that, you know, because for your children's sake, you want your family to stay, and I'm sure from his perspective, he wanted his family to stay together because of that. But I think sometimes we put stuff on God, like God is a, like somebody said, I think my wife said it, and as a genie, and God is not a genie. He doesn't work on your commands. And shout out to D1, because he did a video about it too that was really good. He said we don't serve. We serve God. God doesn't serve us.
Yeah.
And I think so many people, because of bad theology, bad people who are around you who don't know, like they may not read the Bible. They just know cliches of Christianity, or they just know some popular Christian pastor is giving you, feeding you this stuff.
Prosperity gospel.
And not discipling you and pouring into you and say, bro, God is, if this doesn't work out, God is still God.
Yeah.
I think one of the hardest things to do for us as believers is just to be still sometimes. When you make a prayer, like you said, we've all experienced loss and tragedy and things of that nature. We prayed against it and it still happened.
Yeah.
Or we ask God for an answer to a question. If you don't get that immediate answer, or you don't get the results you're looking for, like, sometimes you got to just be still and know that he's God. Sometimes you got to keep on doing the last thing he told you until you get that instruction. And I think it's hard for us to be still. That's why you see so many believers pray for something, and before God even get a chance to answer the prayer, they go do what they want to do anyway.
Yeah.
You pretty much pray for no reason, because you already had in your mind what you wanted to do, because we don't like to give control. That's what it is. And Kanye is a control freak.
Yeah.
He's in the studio. He likes to build songs from beginning to end. Production. He got this. So everything in his life, he's like the puppet master. So when you come to Christ, it's a completely different concept. You're no longer in control.
And I
think when you have a large ego and people around you are yes men because you're pretty much financing their well-being and things of that nature, even when you come to the church, you may have a pastor who might not handle a Kanye the same way he might handle one of us because he's a high-profile celebrity. Yeah. So it's like, okay, let me, you know what I'm saying, be a certain kind of way, to the point where now you're neglecting to give him that discipleship.
Yeah.
You're not giving him that training, so he don't understand one of the principal things of Christianity is being still. Like, those who wait on the Lord, not those who try to be the Lord, not those who try to rush the Lord.
Yeah.
Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And he didn't want to wait.
Well, here's the thing, Kanye. Jesus didn't even get an answer to a prayer that he wanted. Jesus himself was crying, begging his father, please, if there's any other way, please don't let me have to do this. This is hard for me. But the difference is, he said, but your will, not mine. Your will, not mine. Your will, not mine. That's the lesson. Even Jesus, the father said no. The answer was no.
You gotta go through this. Facts.
I think a lot of people need to understand that he's comparing himself to Jesus. Even Jesus didn't get his prayers in. So you have a problem with him when he had to endure the same thing?
We got to be taught that, though. You got to be taught that. And when the prosperity of all gospel, you got to think, the people that he probably was around, I don't want to just put it on people, but they're probably the people like, hey, man, you came to God. hey, you're going to have a much better life now. You probably didn't get a chance to get to the denying yourself. Yeah. They probably didn't get a chance to, hey, you got to be patient. Hey, you don't get everything you want. Hey, God is not a genie in the sky where you just say whatever you want. He out there doing the choirs and all that kind of stuff. We thinking like, hey, I've done my good deed, so God should give me what I want.
Yeah.
So now it's like, I done did all this stuff, and you didn't give me what I want. Right. Now I'm disappointed. Now I'm confused. Now I'm hurt. Yeah. Now I'm mad.
And think about anybody in Kanye's position that thinks you can throw money at something and make it go away, right? Mm-hmm. And now he's got more money than, you know, well, he's got more money than he needs to even live off of. And so now you're sitting there and you're like, okay, I've conquered pretty much the world of hip hop, world of finances. I've conquered these things, right? Very few people have done what he's done. And now you're sitting there and you're like, okay, usually everybody you survey would say money will fix a lot of my problems, right? Money will be an answer to my prayer. And he's sitting there saying, like, no, money's not the answer to my prayer. So where do I go from here? Mm-hmm. You have to sit still. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've been challenged with this. My sister's challenged me. She's like, hey, you know what? You're going through a storm right now. You need to just sit still. Take 3 days and don't do anything. Close your laptop. Get off your phone. I can't do it. I have a wife, I have children, the school might call. Like, I have all these different things in my mind that I've conjured up to say I can't do it. Somebody like Kanye could actually fall back and do that. He could actually fall back and do that.
I'm gonna say so too,
and
man.
So the fact that he's not doing it is disobedience, and he's frustrated.
Yeah. Do you think about, like, in scripture when Moses had to go to the mountain to get the commandments?
Yeah.
God called him to the mountain. He was up there for like 6 days. Mm-hmm. Now, God could have gave him the commandments right then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Israelites down there wilding. You know, so they're building a golden calf. Yeah. They're bigger, they're playing, they're hungry, they're fussing.
Yeah.
But God made them sit up there 6 days despite everything that was going on. Because if you don't spend time in God's presence, you're not prepared for what's going on down the mountain anyway.
Sure.
So even with him, if you don't spend time in God's presence, if you don't know how to wait and be still and understand that everything I see going on, God sees it too, that doesn't mean I don't need to be still and trust God. He said in that statement, he said, I can't ignore what I see before me. It's not about ignoring what you see before you. You got to understand that God is so powerful that whatever you see before you doesn't matter when he steps in. So if I give full control to him in this situation, to have faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, I can trust that more than what I see.
Yeah.
But that comes with discipleship.
But that's hard. I would say the hard part about all this is the control part. Because, I mean, of course, we've known people that was part of our team that was like, yo, we work with Kanye doing this part of this rollout, and he was just like, I want this. Give me this.
Yeah.
And if we can't give you this, I ain't messing with y'all. And he talking about the people she was working with. So I think at the end of the day, it's just one of those things, man. That's why I always said it's hard for celebrities to become Christians unless they die to themselves.
Yeah,
really.
Oh, for sure. Because if you don't die to yourself, it's hard for us as people who just normal, everyday, walking around people to die to your own selfish ambition, selfishness, and your own way to doing things. But imagine somebody that got things that could be handed to them 24/7 when they just say, hey, I want, and they is right there.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? That's so funny. Without discipleship and without real biblical Christianity, because I'm turning the pages on a lot of different things in American theology, Christianity versus biblical Christianity that people get. You can change somebody's life when you get the true Bible versus somebody's version of what they think is Christianity. And that's what we see in time and time again. But it's a reason why these celebrities go to these celebrity pastors or believe in these type of doctrines, because it doesn't make you die to self.
Facts.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, man. Well, I don't know, man. It's sad to see what he really thinks. I think in America, somebody who believes what he believes can still say they're called a Christian because there's so much confusion.
Yeah.
But that's not Christianity. Mm-hmm. You can't call yourself a God in the sense that he's saying. You can't say, I mean, you could say you have an issue with God, but then work it out. You don't just say, I got a problem with Jesus, so I'm going to just do it myself.
Yeah,
that's not. It's not.
You think he just hurt though? You think he just hurt and confused, or you think he just on turn completely?
Real quick, I think he's kind of hurt and confused. I think the thing though is one of the things that is dangerous that what he's saying is that not I don't need God, but I can do it too. Yeah. I think that's the scary part. But then also, I think for some Christians, one thing I kind of agree with is that when you just pray and you don't do anything, that's a problem. Because you, as a believer, you got to walk out in faith. You got to step out in faith.
Right. But you're doing something shouldn't be a result of your lack of faith.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's basically saying. Like, oh, God won't do it for me. I'll do it for me.
Yeah.
That's not the motivation.
I think
it's pride and lack of understanding.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, it's Kanye has a lot of pride and he lacks a lot of understanding. Like y'all said, he's been pushed into a position because of his status to where nobody is going to challenge that or check that. You
know, and people have made him feel like a god.
Yeah.
People have made him their god.
Right. Yeah.
And so when you're a non-believer and you're thinking like, oh, you know, hip hop is a god to me and money is a god to me and he's got both.
Yeah.
He must be the pinnacle of what I need to be getting to.
Yeah. You know? He basically just went back to Yeezus. Like, if you heard that album, he basically went right back to the Yeezus, my beautiful dark twisted fantasy vibe of what it. I mean, and honestly, when I listen to Vulture, it's almost on that wavelength anyway.
I think he needed meds, bro. I think he bipolar. I think he needs his medication. And I think he needs some real counseling. All of which take humility.
Yeah.
Which he has none of.
But he wasn't manic in this video. He's saying what he actually believes.
Yeah, he was calm in this video. He
this is like, what he believes. This is not like he's off. Like, I've seen him off and I've seen him on.
Yeah.
He's speaking plainly. This is what he believes in his heart.
This was the most calm interview I've seen him do, that when he wasn't like all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, he did talk much and Ty Dolla $ign didn't say much, but at the same time, I guess Big Boy was like, of course, I'm interviewing Kanye and what's the name, but. Yeah, this was the most calm I've seen him, and he was talking. He wasn't like, oh, he off. You know what I'm saying?
I think too. Nah, I'm not disagree with none of y'all saying like he was super calm, but just from my experience with bipolar people, you can be calm as a mug and still be thrown.
Oh, really?
Like, he could have been calm because in the ambiance in the room, it was black. All this
which he for sure designed himself.
He did. He said
black
that before,
room,
yeah.
Low lighting.
Mm-hmm.
He would have looked crazy in there just yelling like, da, 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 da. So you're going to be calm.
Yeah.
But psychologically, you still could be off the rails.
So the atmosphere of the room changed his temperature.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So Crispy put up a poll to our live audience, and he said, do you think Kanye is a Christian? So far, it's not over yet, but so far, 8% said yes. 23% says he thinks he is, but no. 21% is he honestly doesn't know. And 49% says he's confused, backsliding, or hurt. So seems like half of you guys believe he may still be a Christian, but is in a backslidden state. Let's pray so, because it don't sound like it to me.
Yeah.
Let's pray so. That's the best case scenario.
Right.
Because that means there's still hope that this isn't a situation where seed planted on bad soil and it's he's just turned reprobate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
So I hope that's not it. All right. Let's get back into it. You in the field with the track stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, DJ Jeremiah. Let's go.
It's time for the Entertainment Report with Jeremiah.
We got a few things for you out here in this world. All right, here we go. TikTok CEO speaks out the House on Wednesday, passed a bill with broad bipartisan support that will force TikTok Chinese owner to either sell the hugely popular video app or have it banned in the United States. Here is the CEO talking about it right here.
Joe here. Just wanted to share some thoughts with our U.S. users about the disappointing vote in the House of Representatives. There has been a lot of misinformation, and I hope to clarify some things. First, thank you to our incredible community. You are what makes TikTok so special. Thank you for making your voices heard. Over the last few years, we have invested to keep your data safe and our platform free from outside manipulation. We have committed that we will continue to do so. This legislation, if signed into law, will lead to a ban of TikTok in the United States. Even the bill sponsors admit that that's their goal. This bill gives more power to a handful of other social media companies. It will also take billions of dollars out of the pockets of creators and small businesses. It will put more than 300,000 American jobs at risk, and it will take away your TikTok. We know how important TikTok is to all of you. It has given our 170 million users a platform to freely express themselves. and has empowered more than 7 million businesses in the United States. Our platform matters to the small business owners who rely on TikTok to make ends meet, to the teachers who inspire millions of students to learn, and to everyone who discovers and finds joy on TikTok. We will not stop fighting and advocating for you. We will continue to do all we can, including exercising our legal rights, to protect this amazing platform that we have.
So, man, yeah, man. So what do you guys think? If TikTok is over, or I don't know how true this is, but I did see something about Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank possibly buying it. He was one of the people, but what do you guys think?
So the former chair of this is the finance committee, he wants to buy it, right?
Yeah.
And to me, when I heard that, I was just like, man, this sounds like they came up with a $1 billion idea, and now the U.S. is trying to get its hands into that profit share. So, you know, I'm okay with TikTok whichever way it goes. Like, for me, I told y'all, I've said this a million times, I'm okay with not having social media.
You should have shares in it.
You should have.
The way out, man, every time I go to Wande's videos.
You were evangelizing TikTok.
Every time I go to a Wande video or Wande's channel, and I'm like, yo, she was sitting right here when I was like, she was like, what is TikTok? And I was like, oh, man, I should have just kept going with her. It would be cool right now. But no, I'm not a person that likes social media. I don't really like to post on it. I try to do 10 posts a year.
I thought they were trying to ban it because
they say it's a national security threat.
Yeah, because I've heard like there was two different versions of TikTok. Like it's an American version, and then it's a Chinese version.
They censor theirs and they curate theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
ours is open. That's not why. They're worried that they're spying on us.
Oh, gotcha.
their TikTok homepage goes to educational videos.
Yeah.
Ours goes to people getting hit over the head with a bat and police chasing and people running from the
cops. That's your algorithm.
No, I'm saying like that was the example they gave in the news article. Was like they try to dumb down American teens.
Of course,
and try to educate.
We dumb ourselves down.
We do.
That's funny.
I just feel like America trying to muscle them folks out of their platform.
For sure. So I mean, it's a multi-billion-dollar platform.
A lot of y'all made in America. Yeah. We want our hands in it. You can't sell us. Just give us some shares or something, give us some kind of monetary compensation for it. Shut
a muscle situation.
Yeah, that's what they do to everybody.
They did that with crypto.
Oh, yeah.
They did
oil,
with crypto.
Gas, crypto. Yeah.
Get all right, man. Zuckerberg. That's crazy. All right, man. Pastor Jamal Bryant don't like black people going to white churches. Pastor Jamal Bryant spoke on his podcast with guest Jesse Wu from the Dish Nation and Wildin' Out fame about Jesse's experience of racism at a white church, and this is what he said.
With black people that go to white churches.
Okay.
Let me put it out there because you never see it in the reverse.
True.
You never see it in the reverse. And what I say to friends of mine who go to them is that they'll let black people on the praise team, let black people on security, let black people preach, but there's never a black person in the financial.
Ever. Ever. Ever.
That's my issue. I stand on that. Ever. I stand on it. So I'm all for we are the world, that we one body, but there's got to be.
So, yeah, man, what you guys think?
This guy is so crazy. Okay. That's not true. There's a... I went to what you would call white church and black church. So I've been in both worlds. Yeah. There's a lot of black people in leadership throughout white church. And there's a lot of white people who go to, because his beef was they don't come to our church. There's a lot of white people who go to black churches. So I don't agree with him on anything, honestly. not a thing in the world. There are issues. He's not completely wrong. There are issues where, you know, white churches will tokenize black people and things like that.
Yeah.
Not care about their issues, things like
and
that.
And that's what she was saying in the clip a little bit before that. She was talking about that. So she was talking about the racism of how she felt racism from, I think, somebody she was working with in the children's ministry. And it was just very weird and, like, she didn't like it. You know what I mean?
But there should be, like, this whole division between black church, white church, this church, that church. Like, it's sad that that's even the case because that's not heaven, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be, like, a black church in heaven and a white church in heaven. So I just hate the fact that we're so divided. It just makes me sad that. And to me, stuff like this reinforces it. Black people shouldn't go to white churches.
Yeah,
I think some people should not be pastors. I think some people should never see a pulpit. It should never be pastors.
Unless they're looking from the other side.
Dang. Don't see the pool.
Never be pastors, bro.
Yeah. All right, man. Jeez.
Who are you talking about?
Jamal Bryant. Jamal Bryant.
Dang, he was about to bring trap theology up in
there.
Don't
bring me.
I was watching.
It'll be my last time.
I was watching Plain preach the other day.
That's
he got this natural with this.
Yo, people in the comments was making me laugh, though. Somebody was like, I want to go to a church where the pastor don't sleep with the congregation. I was like, oh.
Wow.
That was in his comments. I was like, Jesus.
You got a tactical vest on.
Yeah, that looked crazy. That looked really crazy. I was like,
a royal blue tactical vest. All
right, y'all. Todd Tribbett is responding. Todd Tribbett, of course, heard the backlash of his Breakfast Club interview. Mm-hmm.
The backlash.
I messed up, but hey.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
It works.
He did a very long live, which is split up in two parts, and here's a snippet of that live. Here we go.
I'm a little different. I believe differently. I don't know. And I think somebody said it was how you said it and your tone. Your tone and how you said it in your tone. And again, y'all, I've been in church too long. I've been in the institution of church too long. I got you. I feel you. I hear you. However, I would like to add, I've heard some of the most obscene, obnoxious things across the pulpit of churches that was said the wrong way with the craziest tone ever. And we just had to accept it because it was pastor such and such. And it was Bishop such and such. It was rude, ignorant, degrading, demonizing. I mean, I've heard so much stuff across the pulpit during sermons saying anything they want, any type of way they want. Rude. Disrespectful. From adult to another adult. I've heard some across the pulpits of churches across America talking about tone and the way something is said. The church should... Y'all should understand that more than almost anybody. Because anything could almost be said across that pulpit and it'd be accepted because of the honor that we're given who's saying it. Like, yo, that Bishop could be wrong. That could be wrong. But we accept it and we force our minds to, you know, kind of adjust and make it okay. Because he's anointed and that's the man of God. So we just make it, well, that's the woman of God. So what, she was rude. So what's that? Whoa, and it's getting kind of what? Yo, that's whack to me. That we have to accept rudeness and da-da-da-da-da in the name of their anointed. They're the prophet, their position. And then you got the idolatry. The idolatry of these positions, the idolatry of these churches. Like, yo, we hold it in such high regard. I love the shut it down. Gone. No building. No bishop. No pastor. No. And somebody told me, you need to gather because the Bible says lay hands. The Bible says sing unto him. The Bible, yeah, do all that outside the church. I don't need the pastor to lay hands on me. I don't need the church experience to get hands laid on me. When Jesus sent them out two by two and they cast out devils and stuff, they didn't go to churches. They didn't go to buildings.
Yeah, but then he also talked about that he felt like the Breakfast Club was the right place to go because they were child of God's. He felt like they were child of God. He said everybody, he started saying everything. Mm. He was like, everything's a child. Everybody's a child of God. He was saying he was the LGBT people. He was naming everybody.
Created by God.
But created by God. Yeah. But then he was like, they will perish because they don't know Jesus.
Right.
No, but he was saying the reason why he felt comfortable saying that because there's a part in it. It is a long clip. There's a part in there where he was saying that he felt comfortable with them because he felt he was in the presence of child of God. Mm.
You know what? I've never been to a church. I've never not been to a church. I've never not served in a ministry that didn't offend me. You know what I mean? Like, you take the good with the bad. The good is the fellowship, right? You're there. You're there for fellowship. You're there for the culture. You're there to serve. But then you're going to get offended.
No. But that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about getting offended. He's talking about people saying things that are wrong.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I've heard things from my pastor's pulpit that have offended me, where he said something I thought was wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's just things that happen with imperfect people.
Yeah, but it still needs to be fixed. Like, it's not okay to just be like, oh, it's, you know.
Right, but he's saying you don't have to go to church. You don't have to be in front of the pastor. You don't have to be with these people. Like, I feel like if you do that, that's going to, the good or the bad is, you risk the chance of falling away.
Yeah.
Falling away from the fellowship. Yeah. Falling away from your constant, you know, your constant diet of the Word of God.
Yeah.
The Bible.
Well, so I think you're right. But in his situation, I think his church is online right now.
Yeah.
So that's another conversation of, is that enough? Assembling is online.
Well, he just closed the laptop.
He had a building. Like, I used to see, because I follow him on Instagram, he used to have a church. He was in a church building.
But it sounds like he doesn't want to get it started.
I think something in that interview was, in the interview with the Breakfast Club, that he either lost the building or something with the building that he doesn't have.
But here's the thing. I think Ryan is right in the sense that there are going to be good and bad that comes out of the church. But there's two reactions. It's not okay to excuse it. If your pastor says something crazy, your pastor can't say something crazy. Yeah. You don't just accept whatever he does. Right. Your pastor's cheating with this lady over here. That's not okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't just let that slide. That's not what we're doing. But you also can't just give up on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what he sounds like. He's in a place of like, he's like, I'm giving up on church as a way to spread the gospel and a way is to grow as a people.
I think he's saying he's giving up on the institution, and maybe for some people, church as the gathering versus the institution and the all that,
right?
Is
but
different.
Just make it better. Like, don't give up on it. Make it better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, fix it.
I don't
let them carry on with their nonsense. Like, that's why we do this. And like, Pastor Jamal Bryant shouldn't be a pastor. Like, stuff like that, where you just say it.
Yeah, I think he's speaking from hurt, bro. To me, it sounds like Ty Tribbett was hurt by the church. I saw that video. He went on to talk about like what was going on with him and his wife was going through their issues and different things of that nature. And I felt like he's been in the middle of some situations that the church didn't handle properly.
Yep.
And even though he's moved forward, it probably some things that rubbed him the wrong way that he never really got over. And I think he's speaking from a place of hurt and frustration. There are some valid statements that he is making, but I think the tone, I don't care what he say, the tone in which he said it, and the mannerism and everything gave anger, gave frustration, I don't want nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
I think let's
tie. Don't give up.
Yeah.
Let's make it better. You are actually a pastor. Don't quit. We need you. We need all the people who are legit. I believe he's legit. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's anything he did that was like disqualifying.
He's not Jamal Bryant.
He's not Jamal Bryant, who again should not be a pastor. But he's not that to me. I didn't feel that from him. But I do see frustration that we all feel it, but let's get it right. Let's make it better. Let's fix it. Because there are people who will turn away from God because of people like Jamal Bryant. That's just how it is.
All right, man. You ain't Jesus, D1. D1 was on his on the It's Up There podcast with Big Loon, and they had a convo about should D1 be in the club. Here's the clip.
Club with the Bible, right? You respect that, and you got a lot of respect for that, but brother, it might be the wrong place to be in here.
That's exactly where I need to be, man. What you mean?
Tell me why.
Why? Because in Mark chapter 2, it says, later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with buku tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the teachers of religious law saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with such scum and people like that? When Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor, Loon. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. That's why I need to be in the club with it. That's why I need to be a rapper.
But that's Jesus. You ain't Jesus, man.
That's who I'm striving to be like, though. What you think this bracelet stand for?
Yeah, no.
What would Jesus do?
We do want to adopt the teachings and things like that, but to put D1 in that place is a stretch for me.
Do we all not have the Spirit of God in us?
Yes.
So with that being said, we are supposed to be working to let the Spirit of God overtake and out-wrestle the...
So what y'all think?
What is the... it feels like what Luna's saying is like what most people in the industry say. It's like, well, that's what Jesus did. I don't got to do that.
Yeah.
Like, what is this disconnect where you don't think you have to be more like Jesus, and the things he did was an example for you to do, and you are supposed to strive to, to, you know, God is sanctifying you and making you better. It's like this attitude of however I am is fine. I could just, I could admire him. Whatever I do is fine. That's the that's what he's giving off, and I hear that a lot. You ain't Jesus.
What's the whole club conversation? Is he talking about like his music being played in the club, or him
just talking about God in those environments? Yeah, he feels like it's like the not the place. Like, lead them people alone, let them do what they want to do. It's like, okay, I'm lost, man. I'm glad he's having those conversations, because like it's the same rebuttal is, let me do me when I do me, and then I'll give God whatever you need on Sunday or wherever. It's like, what? Where did that come from? Where did that start?
Like, you're doing God a favor. Like, I'm going to give God this time over here, but meanwhile, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to give him his little prayer and his little worship and all
that. But your meanwhile is the opposite of what he said. Absolutely. Why do you think you have room for that? Yeah. Why do you think you're allowed to just be completely antithetical to what Jesus is saying? It's not allowed. What are you talking about? Stop.
It's weird. I was thinking about all the things that D1 said in the Breakfast Club interview, and I kind of went back. And I know he gets a lot of criticism, but I was listening and I was thinking, you know what? I closed my eyes and I was like, man, if there wasn't a D1 in this space, if it wasn't a D1 at that table, if it wasn't, you know, somebody that's really solid but not trying to, like, be in these people's faces and tell them what they want to say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We need that.
Yeah, he's definitely keep going. He's definitely just pray for him, man, because it's not easy to be that guy, you know?
Yeah.
He's really in he's like a missionary. Yeah. Yeah. Think of him as a missionary. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a missionary. Yeah. And he's not getting a good reception all the time.
Yeah.
And that biblical. Could weigh on you.
Yeah. Seem pretty biblical.
Yeah. Yeah. So pray for him, because, you know, like, you know, a lot of the times he's by himself, which is scary.
Yeah.
So just pray that God will protect him and keep him. Because no matter how much you rail against that mindset, being around it all the time can sneak into your brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So just keep him. God, keep him.
Yeah,
safe.
Keep him lifted, man. And especially going on platforms. He stand on business when you go on those platforms.
Yeah.
I respect that, bro.
He's doing a good job.
All right, man. Unnecessary L of the week. Georgia First Water Slide Coaster. Margaritaville at Lake Lanier Island is taking the first step in building their state's first water slide coaster, which will open as part of the new Fins Up Water Park this summer. The park is set to open on May 4th. The name of the water slide attraction? Apocalypso. According to LakeLanier.com, it is one of the most dangerous lakes outside of the designated swimming area. why would you do that?
Y'all, crazy.
Nobody is
playing with death.
So they're gonna build it over the lake? Is that what they're saying?
I think it's gonna go in the lake.
Oh, gypsy.
Well, hey, I'm gonna say this. We were talking about the color barrier. I think all black people have agreed to no longer go to Lake Lanier, bro. You talking about apocalypto over the lake?
Listen.
Bro, count me out.
Listen, I remember Sean was telling me he was on a work trip to Lake Lanier, and I was like, ooh. I mean, I've been in Georgia all my life. I'm 41, about to be 42, and I've never stepped foot on Lake Lanier. I heard bad things about it from my mother and my father.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not doing it.
Man, my Lake Lanier story, bro, I was in summer camp. I was little, bro. There was a girl standing next to me. You know, they had a little rope with a little bobber thing. Said, don't go past this line.
Yeah.
So then we going to go right to the line. We ain't go over it.
You felt that pull?
Standing next to this girl, bro. Next thing I know, she's just going underwater. Whole snake wrapped around the leg.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Done.
They had to come out there, cut the snake up. They walked out the snake in a little bag. That's
done.
The last
time
I've been there, bro.
What year was that?
Bro, I was so traumatized. I don't even know.
They threw me in the lake. Nope, they threw me in the lake when I was in Boy Scouts. That's how they taught us to swim. They threw you in the one end of the dock, and you had to swim to the other end. When you're in that water and you can't see anything, and you got everything in your mind around you, it's the craziest thing, man. It's so funny. I was watching a clip with my wife last night on this lion park, right? Where the lions actually get on the bus and hug the tourists. So serious, though. And I was like, you know what? I would be cool with that if I see enough people go through with that and they get out unscathed, then I'd be like, okay, cool. My wife looked at me and she was just like,
that's crazy.
That would never happen. She was like, I'd never let you do that. So
you all right, might man. Just
be that demean over the beast of the field gonna get poor killed out here.
If you wonder why we talking about Lake Lanier like this, one, it's a town that's under that lake. Mm-hmm. You gotta know the history. Google Oscarville and you can see the history about Lake Lanier and stuff like that. All right, man. Copy section. Projects YP, a.k.a. Young Paul, the commissioner, Dax Hammer. Guillotines on the East 3, Tadashi, Dead or Alive Part 2. KC, The Free Worship, Rio 24K. Shout out to you, sir. And Nack Daniels, There Is No Tomorrow EP. Holy Girls, the singles. Holy Girls, Portia Love, Wande, Queen Lee, and TK Lee. High C, Miles Minnick, Boosted Up, Tory Deshaun, Ooh Wee. Caleb Gordon Ward, Godframe Potion, Alcott, Fraudulent, Jack of Soul, 5 a.m. in Miami, Trey God, Bruce, Nate Rose, Way Too Numb, and Shywan, The Arrival 3. You can hear these songs on the Milk Playlist, the best in Christian hip hop, gospel rap, Christian rap, and in all. And for our Christian R&B and Afrobeats fans, Feel Good Playlist, go check those playlists out right now on Spotify. And also, we do have our pop playlist, Joyful Pop. Go check those out on Spotify. All right, that's it for me.
Okay, let's do a little poll review here. Do you think TikTok should be banned in the U.S.? 76% said no, 23% said yes. Do you go to a white church? 37% yes, 37% no, and 25% they not white, they light skin. crispy. Do you agree with Ty? 34% said could have said it differently. 25% said he is justified. 25% said he didn't need to make a response. I'm kind of with that one. And 15% said heck no.
He didn't do a Jamal Bryant, Paul.
Do you agree with D1's justification? 95% said yes, 4% said no. And that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
He asked this was
I ignore those. Yeah. All right. So let's get back into it. You in the field with the track stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, DJ Jeremiah. Let's go.
Miracle from Track Stars. I wanted to make sure you guys know all about the official Track Stars universe. So, if you'd like a free Track Stars t-shirt, yes, as well as free merch, discounts, and exclusive content, and of course, direct access to your favorite radio host, then this is for you. Make sure you go to trackstars.com/official. That's trackstars.com/official.
We're listening to the Track Stars with Sean Tanner, Ryan Righteous, and DJ Jeremiah.
Right now, you're in the field with the Track Stars.
Track Stars.
Track Stars.
Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, and DJ Jeremiah.
Right now, you're listening to the Track Stars.
You know what time it is. Yeah.
Good, it's your boy Naaman Gahee, Track Stars music artist, and you are in the field with your family, Track Stars Radio.
Get it, good.
That's ain't no it. Podcast beef. We got respect for y'all.
Yeah.
But respect the grind, baby. Respect the grind. I gotta go get the flex bombs today. Respect the grind.
Boy, hey Kevin, you're in the field with the track stars.
All right, back in the field with the track stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, DJ Jeremiah was good.
All right, make sure that you go to Apple iTunes and leave us a review on the podcast. You can download the podcast each and every Monday. Leave us a review. Go to the website and also tag us when you repost any of our clips, all right?
And first of all, I just want to thank everybody who's been supporting our YouTube channel. If you guys have been listening, you know we're really focusing on YouTube. Keep track of the counter in the back. That thing is going up like crazy every week. Continue to share it. Continue to like it. Even if you watch the live show and then you see the clips come out, still watch it, still like it, still share it, because that's really been helping. I don't know. I think we're getting close to figuring out what the algorithm wants on YouTube. Because some of them, like, I could see it catches it. Like, it's like, oh, okay, I like this one, boom. Yeah. I like this one, boom. So we're trying to figure out exactly what that formula is so that more people can get exposed to what we're trying to do here. Mm-hmm. More people can meet you guys. So when they come to the lives, you guys are there to, you know, interact, witness to them, yeah. You know, bring them in close. So this, it's not a church, like I said last week, but we still need to function like the body where we're bringing people lost to found. We're helping build them up, discipling them, and then helping them get plugged into a church and then helping them grow. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they'll be making a podcast and they'll be sharing the gospel on their podcast, and then boom. So that's the ultimate goal. So thank you guys for supporting it. And all the patrons that have gone to patreon.com/trackstarsuniverse and have signed up there, whether free or the paid ones, please, please continue doing that. That really helps us out a lot. Right now we are going to talk about Lecrae and Jackie Hill Perry. They just did an awesome interview. If you haven't watched it, go watch the whole thing. We may come back to this interview a few times because there's about three or four different topics that we could pull out of this interview, but we're going to go with this one first. So we never actually reacted to Jackie Hill Perry's Beyonce witchcraft video.
Yeah.
Jeremiah mentioned it when we were reacting to Tiffany Montgomery's video about it. Mm-hmm. We never really reacted to it, but Lecrae brought it up to Jackie, and this is how she responded to it.
Let's talk about controversy a little bit.
Okay.
All right, because I feel like, you know, Jackie gonna be Jackie. Jackie gonna say what's on Jackie's mind.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the things that Jackie say stirs up the hornet's nest or the bee's hive. So
you mean wicked people? That's what you mean?
Ah, hold up. Huh? Wait a minute.
The whoremongers?
Hold up.
The witches and the warlocks?
Stop. That's what we're talking about.
Okay, go ahead. You can call them bees. Bees is fine. Go ahead.
So I'm just saying, like, I don't know your wiring. I know my wiring. Uh-huh. My wiring is I will often wrestle with the fear of man.
Mm-hmm.
And I will have to, like, push through that. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, if I say something, and I meant what I said.
Yeah.
But then a horde of people come my way. I have to say, you know, it's why I always say if you live for their acceptance, you die for their rejection. Because I will struggle with that internally. And everybody don't have that struggle.
Yeah.
So has that ever been an issue for you? You know, you got Beyonce's fans coming at you. You got the Kojic people coming at you. You got the lesbian community coming at you. Like, has there ever been a moment
I'm just out here.
That's what I'm saying. You ain't see. She's unbothered. I'm over here like,
I am out here.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
You unbothered. That's great. So she answered my question, I guess.
This is the thing. This is going to sound so simple.
Okay.
I really do love the Lord.
Mm.
And out of that love, I love people.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them enough to tell them the truth because I know the truth gets them to him. Right? So to me, I'm not ever just saying the truth just to say it. That's stupid. I'm saying the truth because I really do believe that God is better. And if he is better, then I'm willing to wade through your offenses. I'm willing to wade through whatever attacks or arrows you might have, because I know if it gets through to the heart and the Holy Spirit blesses that thing, you'll see that I was right. Why? Because God is good. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not... So that doesn't mean that I don't have fear of man, but it does mean that I fear God more than I fear them. I have to, because at some point, if I refuse to tell the truth, I'm an idol worshiper.
That's good.
At some point, right? Yeah. And so even out of my own worship of God, I'm compelled to say.
Bars.
Man, what'd y'all think about that?
Yoda.
Solid.
Yeah.
Very solid.
So super if you can you recap a little bit about what she said in her video?
Originally, it was about how she was a fan of Beyonce, and you know, and at the same time, all that everything was coming out like the whole with Tiffany first. Then she wanted to do it to a point where she like, you know, Jackie's a teacher, so she loves to teach people and equip people, you know what I mean? So she basically went back down and she was like, she was at the hair salon, people talking about giving stuff up, and she was like, you know, God, you know, what do you want me to give up, God? And he said, Beyonce, and she was like, you tripping. And he said, Beyonce again, and he was like, all right, just study. So she studied, and she found out that she's been using African deities in her music and different things of that nature, and she broke it down. And one thing I love about that video, if you go back and watch it, is she says something that's very good. She was like, she felt like, God, I'm like fooled. I was fooled. I was blinded. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, I didn't use wisdom. Yeah. And I didn't want to use wisdom because she was like, there was people in Africa talking to her and I guess Preston or people saying like, yo, this is demonic. This is witchcraft. And she was like, it ain't that deep. It ain't that blah, blah, blah. But then she realized as she studied and she seen the different deities that Beyonce's been doing in her music videos and stuff. And she was like, we got to have wisdom, y'all. We got to do this. We got to, you know, we got to really prepare our hearts for when people put in front of us and, you know, just be Bereans like Christians should be, like studying other, not studying other religions to learn, but studying other religions so you know what they know and how it differs from your faith.
We've had our own problems with the Beehive. They're very aggressive.
Philistines.
The Philistines.
They're in the church.
They're very aggressive. We've gotten, I said last week, we got kicked off of a platform because of them. They didn't like, or the people were worried about what they're going to say. I understand what Lecrae is saying. There's this fear that when you get a lot of backlash, it rattles you a little bit. But I like her response is that I am more worried about what God thinks than I am about any hive of people. And if you keep that center of mind, you won't be afraid to say the truth. Like when that situation happened to us, it was like, are we supposed to change what we say on the show? It's like, no, no, we were telling the truth. We didn't say nothing wrong. We were just telling the truth. And because of backlash, that so many Christians love her and may not realize how off she is, they would rather side with her than what we were saying. Like that's crazy.
And the sad part about it, it's church people. It's not like her people that's LGBT or any. It's like people in the church that would be like, backing her. And you'd be like, don't y'all, you know what I mean? Like, do y'all not do, well, like do you not understand what people are saying?
Some
like,
people may not have not really heard it.
They choose not to. They don't want to hear it either.
But she's so master at just going up on stage, like, thank God for such, and, I told you. And I think people are so blinded by that they don't want to. Like, I think it goes back to what type of church you in, too. That goes, I think that's the theme of the show. Like, what type of church are you in? Because, you know, if you're not willing to really dig deep on about what you believe and what you, like, what's the gods and the gods of the Bible, you know what I mean? Because she kind of, like, Jackie was saying, like she was doing studies on the golden calf, which was one of the deities she was kind of manipulating. And it was like, people just don't want to, they want God to be their genie, basically.
They make excuses for who they like.
So it's not like, and what I mean by that was that they don't want to show themselves approved to learn, like, okay, what is she really saying? Is she, because God is so blanket, is she really this or whatever, you know what I mean?
Real quick, if you don't watch our live shows, you're missing out, man. The chat is so funny, bro. They doing all these bee puns and dad jokes. Y'all got to join
us
live.
It's fun in there. I go front. Last
Saturdays, noon Eastern Standard Time. Come join us. Come watch this live, and you can actually participate. Like, we interact with the chat, so I just wanted to say that. But, yeah, man, so I just want to, what do you think about just the, forget Beyonce for a second. Just the boldness to be able to look at a group of people like that and not be afraid of what they're going to say back. Do you ever feel like on a show that you can't really say the truth?
Jamal Bryant should be a pastor. If you go to New Birth, your pastor shouldn't be a pastor.
I ain't gonna front. I think sometimes it's not a fear of man. I think it's sometimes as a person that you, because you, I think another thing too is kind of walking out track stars, like walking us out of like opportunities because of our bold statements on stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like how we so bold. When you watch our stuff, it's very bold. Yeah. It's not like sugar.
But we're not beholden to anybody though. So I can understand if you are like, you're like, you know, attached to a brand or attached to a church or attached to something where they would have a problem with what you said. Like we were, like we had people were like giving us feedback. Don't say this. Don't say that. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah.
To be in that situation because you could lose it. We did lose it.
Yeah.
But to me, that was more freeing for me. It's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Good.
It's funny because I'm not always the one that's fighting because it's the relationship that I started. And I'm like,
like Ryan, I remember they called me.
I remember they called me and they were like, listen, we heard what you said about Donald Trump on one of your shows. Yeah. We're going to have to pull the show. And I'm like,
but that was a whole other network.
That was a whole other network. Yeah, but even with the Beyonce thing, they were just like, just stay away from that topic and y'all can be, you know what I'm saying?
No.
But then they also had a problem with the music. They was like, yo, y'all can play Lecrae and Ty Tribbett and Mary Mary, but you can't play, you know, Thizzle. You can't play, you know, all these other folks. And it was just like, it got to be annoying.
We died on the hill for Christian.
We did.
They treat us like trash.
Yeah.
We really did. A lot of us did. A lot of podcasts, like, kind of probably went through that. Where it was like, hey man, can you play? Not play this, play this, and that's what I realized too about the church, more black church, is that their version of what they think hip hop is, like Kirk Franklin, Ty Tribbett, Mary Mary, and Lecrae is now catching up to that.
Yeah.
But they have their own version of
it's just Christian pop,
like their version of what black Christian rap is. You know what I mean? And it's not even like because we automatically think of like. 1K, but for them it's like Lecrae, and then it's like Pastor Mike Jr.
Kirk Franklin,
like that. People who have elements of hip hop.
You know what I died on the hill for? Line for line.
Thank you.
That has gotten me in so many conversations on so many awkward phone calls. Like, well, I mean, why'd you play that version of the song though? And it's like, well, it was edited. Yeah. It was, you know, like. Yeah, but I mean, I've heard people tell me like you guys are responsible for backsliders.
Dang.
Like y'all are responsible. Like this man said he was driving down the road and his kid was listening to the song and it took him back to his 90s days and he was bumping his head. It took him back. It took him back and he was like, y'all started rapping the lyrics and my son was in the car and it just made me feel like I was a backslider.
We got a big issue, bro.
Yeah.
It's in you.
So, it's still there.
Core issue.
Yeah.
I never get mad when people have a problem with line for line because I get it. I mean, if that's why we added the thing in the front, say, hey, if this is not for you, it's not for you. Do not watch it if it's not for you.
Yeah.
But what do you think? Because we have a lot of the beehive that jumps into the video we did. What do you think? Because a lot of them, they'll say they're Christians.
Yeah.
What is causing this disconnect of where they defend her so hard? But they're aware that there's some problems, but they still defend her. Like, what is it?
I think it's because people just, them songs are in that heart. And them songs.
Yeah.
It appeals to the flesh.
Yeah. Them songs help some people get over some stuff that they were dealing with. Just how, you know, how we supposed to run to the Bible when we dealing depressed, we feeling overwhelmed, we feeling defeated. We supposed to go find that scripture where God can speak to our hearts and speak to our minds and speak to our souls. And I think that's what they done with her music, bro.
Like, well, just take that energy and pray for her. I mean, because what we would want and what I think all of us would want is for her to come to a knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's what we're praying for everybody, right? So if that happens, then all praise God.
Yeah. I don't see why they follow. I think she crazy. You're dangerously in love.
I'm trying to end on a positive.
You've been dangerously in love. You've been crazy in love. You've been, ring the alarm. You know what I'm saying?
So basically, you're saying Jay-Z the problem because all those got something to do with Jay-Z.
No. It's her. All right. So real quick, let's make sure we get this in. So Dr. Umar. It's a hard transition. Dr. Umar was on Highly Initiated, Ryan's favorite podcast. And he was talking about the black church a lot.
Oh yeah, he be going in on black church.
This clip is just a piece of what he said about the black church. But let's see what he has to say.
Caters to the black woman. And the reason the black church caters to the black woman is because the black woman is the provider. She has more income and education than the man. So they're looking at this financially. They also have a vested interest in her never getting married.
Whoa.
The pastor is the metaphorical husband of all the single women in the community. Damn. I'm not saying he's sleeping with them. I'm saying he's keeping them so distracted with Jesus that they never find a husband. And that's the way he wants it to stay. Because if she finds a husband, she won't have as much time to be donating to the church all the time. Wow. So the black church benefits from single motherhood. They don't want our sisters married because they're pot.
And this guy,
that's crazy.
And Dr. Umar is a polygamist. He believes in multiple women.
Well, he takes one to know one, right? He's like, I know that game. Oh, man. So what do you think about what Umar said?
Goodness.
Is it true?
It's
there's an inch of truth to that?
No. But I think you do have, I think that the church system has probably realized that the loyalists that serve in the church are probably mostly single women.
Yes.
You know, and I think that they, I don't think that they encourage it, and I don't think that they,
they're just the most dedicated.
Yeah, and it just happens to be the statistics, right? Like, when I was in college, it was 25-1. You know, the church is the same way. So you can't get them all married off. You know, might as well have them. Right? I'm saying you might as well have them start serving.
You know what
in different places.
You gonna get when you get home? You can't marry all of them all. Some of them want to be married. Right?
I got three daughters. I don't plan on marrying all of them.
Dang, which daughter?
Jesus.
No, that would have to pay for them all. That is, I'm just kidding. But no,
you got a big backyard, brother. You can like, go back there. Nice little water.
I got one kid that says they never. I got one kid that says they're never leaving home. So I just got to deal with that, I guess.
Okay.
But no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I do think that I don't think the church is a system set up to encourage that, though. But I think it just happens to be that way.
I think what he's noticing is, like you said, a lot of churches, the women are the ones that are most dedicated.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that pastor does serve as an example of what a husband should be to them.
Yeah.
And so a lot of them are dedicated to that pastor as well. Whether he takes advantage of that or not, I don't know. But I've never known a pastor to want the women in his church to stay single. I've never got a sense of that. So I think he's wrong about that. But I think that the dynamic he's witnessing is true.
Yeah,
that there are a lot of single women in church. There's a problem with, you know, there. Here's the real problem. We got in trouble for this a long time ago. If you know what I'm talking, if you've been around for a while, you know what topic I'm talking about. But the gist of that conversation, just in case you don't know, was that there aren't enough solid quality men available for all those women.
Yeah.
So who are they supposed to go for? When you walk into most church doors, you see men that are serving, about 90% of them are married.
Yeah.
And then you see like a bunch of single women. So what are they supposed to do? Yeah. There's not enough. And the guys that should be there are out in the street. Yeah. So the ratio is off. So then you get a bunch of women serving. They look up to their pastor because they believe he's a good man. Yeah. I think he's witnessing a truth, but he's just getting the wrong conclusion.
Two women tend to be more trusting than men, especially in a church environment. Like the average man thinking, oh, he up there running game. He up there trying to get money. I ain't finna listen to this guy. So they're more skeptical of a pastor or the church institution, I guess. They're more skeptical. A woman is like, okay, I'm going to go in. I'm going to serve the Lord. They're not really even thinking like that. Not all women anyway. So I think that's why you're going to see more women. Men, they'll tell you like, man, I'm not finna go down there and let this dude get my money and hustle me. I heard plenty of men say it, you know. So if you got a church that's kind of like, not really solid for real, and they can't really see how it makes sense. Men not going to show up.
But how do you attract guys to the church?
I mean, for one, you got to talk to people. I think, like we were talking about last week, what Ty Tripper was trying to do, what the church would be relatable. Mm-hmm. I think it's a way to be relatable on the show. I mean, to be relatable. I think it's a way to be relatable without going too far, without crossing the lines or the boundaries that you should cross as a believer. If I talk to a guy, I tell him, like, look, man, come to church. I said, we're not going to try to force you. We're not after your money or nothing. We're just trying to build a relationship with you. We're going to dive into the word. We're all growing. We're all learning. Ain't no big eyes and little U's. We in this together. We'd love to have you come fellowship. Any questions you have, we're more than welcome to answer. I'm happy to answer your questions. Let's just lock in. Wow. Just be normal.
We're going to clip that up and make that a commercial.
Yeah. Don't be normal. Don't be like, oh, man, you're going to come in. You're going to see a great change in your life. And I tell them, like,
you ain't one of them preachers like, yo, man. I remember back in the day, I remember somebody like, yo, man, I go to this church. We got a bunch of women in here. You single.
They actually got me with that. When we were teenagers, they were like, hey, guys, there's a lot of single women in here. You may want to come.
That's ministry pimping. That's what they're doing.
What's unfortunate, again, it still comes back to the fact there aren't enough solid black men who are single, serving, faithful, dedicated in the church. So it's like, what are you supposed to do? There's too many people who sound like Dr. Umar in the church.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the guys, even the ones that are single, act like him.
Yeah.
There's not options available to these men.
Man, I'm just tired of people just growing their hair out all nappy and growing a beard and start talking all eloquent. They just so wise. See, the problem is with the black church.
There's a lot of people that follow him, though.
Oh, yeah, he got a lot of people. Because
they don't
read. It's because of Charlemagne. Charlemagne been pushing the mess out of him.
But you know what the funny part is? People make fun of him to the point where people are intrigued by him.
So when
somebody go and somebody posts something of a white woman, and then a black person said, yo, Dr. Umar got to understand.
Yeah, he's a punchline.
So he's a punchline, but it's also it's almost like when people talk about Trump, like you're so funny or you see him or he's so big. It's like.
Yeah, there's a personality type that's winning right now.
Yeah.
It's the so silly, so ridiculous that I just need to watch you. I need to follow you. I need to, you're saying things that other people are afraid to say. So I like that about you.
Yeah.
And that's winning right now.
Yeah.
Man, that dude, bro, he got a fake doctorate he had. Where that school that he probably built, he raised the money for.
He showed a video one time about somebody posted like, yeah, I told y'all he got the school, and he was like walking around some school. I saw that video.
I can go down here to Tri-City and walk around and be like, yeah, I got a trapeology school right here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
but where are the godly single men? Where are they? Somebody. Do you know any?
Yeah,
Do you know any?
We had this conversation.
It's far and few between.
That's true.
It's not a lot.
Ain't a lot.
It's not a lot.
I'm the only single man in my friend group.
And I was going to say this too, and I hate to say it like this, but the single men I do know are divorced now.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't equate the same.
Well, I think also too, we probably got to, one, as men of God, we have to go in the community and start pouring into men.
That's what I'm trying to get, and
just talk to people, man, and hear ears. Like, and you may not be, and I think that sometimes for us as men, we want to answer the questions, and you may not have the answer to the questions, but you may be able to just build with somebody and say, hey, man, I don't know the answer to that question you're asking, but let's just talk. I can bring it back to you next week or next time I see you.
Because
there's definitely
a problem, because I feel the frustration of our young sisters in the church that are being faithful, love God, have the right mindset about God. And they're just like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
And when a single man come in, they pounce, bro.
But I will say this. Sometimes you may have that overlooking each other. You know what I mean? Where it's like the guys are looking for the saved city girl and the women looking for the saved Michael B. Jordan. Versus turn around, look at each other. Maybe. That's who y'all supposed to be.
Some of that. But there's still ratio is still off.
Yeah, the ratio is still,
still off.
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's get into it. You in the field with the Track Stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, DJ Jeremiah. Let's go.
Now, I'm in the field with Track Stars right now. I had a blessed time. Hopefully, you guys are listening. If you're not, then you're losing.